Hello, my name is Tracy Sinclair, and I would like to welcome you to this AAT podcast on writing accurately. This podcast forms part of a mini-series on business writing skills. Grammar. Thoughts of grammar often take us back to our school days. Whether we were taught well or not, we do forget many of the rules as time goes by. Of course, as we grow up, we subconsciously pick up knowledge of grammatical rules by listening to others and imitating them. Nevertheless, we still make mistakes, and some of these mistakes are to do with habits. Because so many speak this way, we are often unaware of the errors within these sentences. For example, I ain't hungry. Get off of that chair. He should have come too. This pen don't work no more. Are you's coming out tonight? We was going to go to the nightclub. Or it's like I'm really excited, etc. Although the grammar is the same for both speech and writing, it often seems less important when face to face, because our body language, i.e. our gestures, our tone of voice and facial expressions, help us in getting our message across. But when we write, it's a very different situation. We need to do so correctly in order to be clear and to avoid any ambiguity. For this reason, correct grammar is very important. Spelling. Does spelling matter? In a sense, it ought not to. People should be able to cut through bad spelling to what the writer is trying to say. Unfortunately, though, people do judge us by the way we write. A good book for helping with spelling is called Spelling It Out by Rhiannon Pratley, published by BBC Books in 1988. Consulting a dictionary can also improve your skill with words in many ways. If you use a dictionary for spelling, consider buying one which is specifically for the purpose, such as Chambers Dictionary of Spelling and Word Division, edited by David Edmonds and published by LaRousse PLC in 1995. Confusable words. There are many pairs of words whose meanings or spellings can be confused within the English language. Even when the spelling is identical, words can have different meanings and even be pronounced in a different way. Here are a few examples. The bandage was wound around the wound. The farm was used to produce produce. The dump was so full that it had to refuse more refuse. He could lead if he could get the lead out. The soldier decided to desert his desert in the desert. Since there is no time like the present, he thought it was time to present the present. And so on. Can you end a sentence with a preposition? Sometimes we go to great lengths to avoid putting a preposition at the end of a sentence. And yet, in speaking, we are perfectly content to end a sentence with a preposition. Here are some examples. I don't know what you are talking about. What did you do that for? Where did that come from? I am sure something better will turn up. Strictly speaking, these sentences are grammatically incorrect. However, they form part of accepted daily speech. Whether or not to end a sentence with a preposition is a literary battle that people have waged for decades. Winston Churchill, when criticised for putting a preposition at the end of a sentence, is reputed to have said, "That is the sort of English up with which I will not put." This awkward sentence illustrates that avoided putting a preposition at the end of a sentence can result in formal, bureaucratic, stuffy, hard-to-read writing. The best approach is to make your sentence as simple, straightforward, and clear as possible. Let the words flow smoothly to your reader, and if a preposition falls naturally at the end, let it be okay. Trust your ear to find the right sentence structure. So whether we are focusing on grammar, spelling, confusing words, or prepositions, the key here is for our language to be natural, easy to understand, but also accurate. And here ends the podcast on writing accurately.